Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now we are talking about Sapelo and the beautiful Barrier Island off the coast of Georgia. The culture there and just the beauty of the island makes it very, very special. But of course, we've also been remembering Cornelia Walker Bailey on the show today. And I have joining me Michelle Nicole Johnson, who is a historian, a librarian, and also the author of Sapelo Island's Hog Hammock, which is one of the neighborhoods and communities there on the island. And she's also married into the Johnson family, which is a very longstanding family there on the island. So, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I want to kind of jump right in because I know that you do a lot of presentations around where you explain exactly what Gullah Geechee culture is and just the importance of it. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit just about what that culture is?
Well, the Gullah Geechee culture can be found in a string of barrier islands and coastal communities ranging from southern North Carolina around the Wilmington area all the way down to North Florida. And it's typically areas where there were plantations, and the people who live there are the descendants of the slaves who worked those plantations. And so you find there a unique culture where people have been able to retain many of their African traditions and, you know, traditions that you don't normally find anymore because people have modernized and moved on to different things. But in the Gullah Geechee communities, they've held on to the old ways of life.
And what are some of those traditions that would define the Gullah Geechee culture? What might we see or experience?
Well, one of the most recognizable traditions would be the basket-making tradition, sweetgrass baskets. Many people are familiar with those, and they associate those with the Gullah culture. When you go to places like Charleston and Beaufort, South Carolina, you find, you know, they have a tourism industry built up around the Gullah Geechee culture. And so you'll see people selling baskets. The language, a dialect that's a mixture of what native West African languages and English and sometimes French, and you'll find that in that area, as well as other traditions such as net making skills and food cultures like rice dishes and things like that.
Now, is there a difference? Because I know you hear Gullah and you hear Geechee, and sometimes I hear them interchange, but I know that there is some also standards in terms of which particular term that you use and when.
Well, I've always heard that people from North Carolina and South Carolina call themselves Gullah, and people from Georgia and North Florida call themselves Geechee. Some people will tell you that there is no difference, that they're just, you know, variations of the same culture. And some people, especially people who are of the culture, will tell you that there are differences. So I usually try to stay out of that debate.
Yes, I know. So do I. I was hoping that you could kind of help me out because I usually stay out of that stay out of that debate as well. Because it is very important to them to make that distinction, and we have to be respectful of that.
Right.
Exactly. But now, going over to Sapelo in particular, now I know that you wrote the book about the community of Hog Hammock. So tell us a little bit about Hog Hammock and the name, and because it's an unusual name probably for a lot of people.
Right. Well, the community is the last community on the island. At one time, there were several communities scattered about the island. According to local history, the name originated because that's where the hogs were kept on the island. And so that's how the community got its name during slavery.
Mm-hmm. And now I know that you are married into the Johnson family, which is a family that has been there on the island for quite some time.
Right. Yes, the family name shows up in the 1870 census. So the Johnsons are not thought to have been there during slavery. They came over to the island after slavery ended.
And how did this all come about, that you were on Sapelo, that you met your husband, Larry Johnson? How did this kind of happen?
Well, I'll give you the short version. I was a newspaper reporter in Jacksonville, Florida, for the Florida Times Union, and I often wrote columns about family history and African-American history. And so, when a new book would come out about those topics, they would always end up on my desk. So Cornelia Bailey's book, God, Dr. Buzzard, and the Bolito Man, ended up on my desk. I think it was in the late 2000 or maybe early 2001. And I thought I'd do a quick book review, you know, and get another byline. But I read it, and I just became fascinated with this island. So I decided to do a feature story. So I went there in March of 2001 and just kept going back and eventually met my husband. But it just became a place I would go to relax and to write and just enjoy peace and quiet.
And, you know, Cornelia's book, you know, God, Dr. Buzzard, and the Bolino Man, it seems as though that was really the thing that inspired so many people to come, or those stories that are in her book, because it is very fascinating. When you read them, you want to go and not only see that place, but meet the person who lived that life. So I know that was the case for me. I was on my honeymoon when I went over, and she and I laughed for years about, you know, my taking time from my honeymoon to come over and meet her to hear the stories. But it was just so fascinating, and I did not want to miss that opportunity while I was down on the coast. But now, how did you meet Cornelia?
Well, I stayed at her lodge the first time I went over. And I don't think I met her right away, but eventually she, you know, she came in and introduced herself, and she signed my book, and we just talked, and not long conversations, but just little snippets here and there. I think she was kind of trying to figure me out since I was a reporter. You know, she may have been looking at me a little with some skepticism, but when I kept coming back to visit, eventually, you know, she didn't even come pick me up at the dock anymore. She just would tell me, well, I'll just leave a car for you, and you just drive yourself in, you know. So we just became friends over time and started talking about, you know, different projects that she was working on and ideas she had for the island. But at that time, I never imagined I would live there. I just thought this would be a place I'll visit the rest of my life. But, you know, it wasn't until I met my husband-to-be that I thought, oh, I'm going to end up living in this place. And then it really became real, and I, you know, started seeing this as my community that I had to help, not just, you know, someone else's community.
Exactly. Now, if you guys are just joining me, I'm talking with Michelle Nicole Johnson, who is sharing her story about Sapelo. But, you know, it's really fascinating to me just, you know, to think about, you know, the culture and everything that is there. Why do you think it's so important to preserve cultures like the one there on Sapelo?
Well, it's our history. It's our story. Instead of reading something in a book or watching a film or looking at an exhibit, you can actually live the history on Sapelo. You can meet the people who are descendants of the story and experience it firsthand. You know, I tell people you can go there and fish and cook and, you know, eat the foods and learn it from the people who have lived it.
Absolutely. And your book captures a lot of that, because all of the photos that are in your book really bring your book to life, and the stories and the things that you're sharing in your book to life too. So even things like that, being able to actually see the people that may no longer be with us, but see them in, you know, in the pictures.
That's true.
It's so very, very important. But now, how can people get your book? Because we've talked about it a bit, but I think people should go ahead and get it. So where can they find it?
Well, thank you. It's available online at your major booksellers, Amazon and places like that. You can get it, and locally in the community, you can get it at the bookstores here in this area along the coast.
Well, I'll tell you, Cornelia was so important and significant, not only in the community of Hawk Hammock, but the other communities that were once on the island as well. And I think she will truly, truly be missed, because she was the champion for that culture as well as for the island.
Right. And one of the things she said to me in one of my early visits that stuck with me was that, you know, even though I didn't identify as Gullah Geechee, she said that this is still your story, because, you know, your ancestors knew these traditions and knew this life, but they forgot it when they moved, you know, when they were moved inland into other communities. But she said, you know, what we are doing here, this is what your ancestors knew. So that was something that I never forgot.
Well, and I think that's a good one to sort of wrap up this segment, because that is so very true. Thank you so much, Michelle, for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thank you for letting me talk and share my story.
All right. Thank you so much. And you guys sit tight. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.